I would like to live. I would like to have people look at me, willing to learn, and have them know that I'm also willing to learn at the same time. And I would like to do that with love in my heart. And I don't want to see anybody else die because they couldn't be who they were.
And I wonder, will he like this? Will he think that I fit in?
Just say you love me.
Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of hiding.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Lucy Chappelle. Massachusetts High Court renders sodomy laws impotent, queer youth demand dignity from Florida legislators, and new out music sparked by spirituality, poetry, and power pop. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Brian Nunes.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 23, 2002. In the U.S., Massachusetts' highest court this week threw out a legal challenge to two state sodomy laws, but in the process made comments that are expected to limit or even eliminate their enforcement. The group Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, GLAAD, believes those laws have been selectively enforced against gay men in police raids on cruising areas. GLAAD brought the lawsuit on behalf of nine plaintiffs, including a married heterosexual couple, seeking clarification on their possible prosecution if they had oral or anal sex in a wooded outdoor area, vehicles parked in parking lots, and secluded areas of public beaches. The state Supreme Judicial Court technically rejected the case because none of those plaintiffs are currently facing prosecution. But the justices unanimously endorsed a decision stating for the first time that the law should not be applied to consensual acts as long as the individuals involved attempt to avoid being seen by others. The two laws were first adopted more than 300 years ago. One prescribes sentences of up to 5 years for an unnatural and lascivious act, including oral sex, while the other punishes what it calls the abominable and detestable crime against nature, anal sex, with up to 20 years imprisonment.
Some local authorities in the UK are reportedly very interested in a new approach to stopping sex in public restrooms. Healthmatic is marketing a system of weight sensors for cubicle floors to detect the presence of more than 24 stone, 336 pounds, or about 740 kilograms. While weight distribution supposedly allows the sensors to pass on a parent assisting a child, individuals who exceed the weight limit must obtain a key to override the system. One system has already been installed at a beach in the Scottish city of Ayr.
Britain's Queen Elizabeth shook hands with the world's first transsexual member of parliament as she began a visit to New Zealand this week. For the receiving line at Wellington Airport, Georgina Bear wore white raukura feathers in her hair, as women of the native Te Atiawa tribe do to signify peace, love, and goodwill. Bear, who's met the Queen twice before, said she was proud to be part of the group welcoming her. An aide to New Zealand's Governor General was overheard telling Prince Philip of Bear, "Yeah, she's had the full chop."
U.S. transgender activist Sylvia Rivera died this week of liver cancer at age 50. She was a high-profile participant in the 1969 uprising at New York City's Stonewall Inn that's considered the birth of the modern movement for lesbian and gay rights, and she continued to be a strong voice demanding full inclusion of transgenders in that movement. Rivera founded two shelters for transgenders and worked at a community food pantry. She is survived by her partner, Julia Murray.
The Presbyterian Church USA will retain its ban on ordination for non-celibate gays and lesbians, as a proposal to amend it was defeated this week. In 1997, the 3.6 million-member church officially adopted the requirement that its clergy, deacons, and elders maintain fidelity within the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman, or chastity in singleness. Last year, the church's General Assembly voted to strike it, but ratification of that amendment by the church's 173 regional presbyteries failed this week when South Louisiana became the 87th presbytery to vote against it.
Jesse Helms, long the U.S. Senate's leading homophobe, announced an astonishing turnaround on AIDS this week. At a conference organized by the global Christian charity Samaritan's Purse, Helms said, "I'm so ashamed that I've done so little. I've been too lax too long in doing something really significant about AIDS. I'm not going to lay it aside on my agenda for the remaining months I have." Helms will be retiring at the end of the year. He credited his change to a meeting with Bono of the band U2. Previously, the North Carolina Republican had vehemently opposed federal funding for AIDS, blaming the disease on what he called gay men's deliberate, disgusting, revolting conduct. That kind of rhetoric led two of his constituents whose sons had died of AIDS to found the group Mothers Against Jesse in Congress. One of them, Patsy Clark, said she was knocked off her seat by the news and that, "I really never thought I would live to see the day."
Also making a big about-face this week was Northern Ireland's Gerry Adams. Adams told London's Sunday Times that he's urging the Sinn Féin party to join the campaign for gay and lesbian civil rights after years of vocal opposition to them. He said, "I think people of the same gender have the right to marry and to have a family." He specifically called for equal inheritance rights for gay and lesbian partners and for equal treatment of gay men by insurance companies.
The justice minister of the Canadian province of Quebec this week called for full parental rights to be included in his government's bill to create registered partnerships for gays and lesbians. Quebec Justice Minister Paul Bégin said he would be proposing parental rights to the Parti Québécois government because no children should ever be ashamed of their parents. Parental rights were a key demand in public hearings on the bill. Coalition of Gays and Lesbians of Quebec director Claudine Houlet called the announcement historic. However, some gays and lesbians in the province oppose registered partnerships as counter to their demands for full equal marriage rights. Canada's national group EGAL, Equality for Gays and Lesbians Everywhere, this week presented petitions for marriage rights signed by 15,000 people to five members of parliament, including Open Gays Sven Robinson of the New Democratic Party and Réal Ménard of the Bloc Québécois.
An openly gay president would be acceptable to nearly three-quarters of French citizens, according to a major opinion poll released this week. None of the presidential candidates in upcoming elections are believed to be gay, although Paris elected open gay Bertrand Delano as its mayor last year. The findings of the Sophres poll of a representative sample of 1,000 French adults were remarkable for their contrast with previous similar polls. This year, 73% said they would accept a gay president, while just 5 years ago, that number was only 46%. 20 years ago, 30% were accepting. On the flip side, this year only 26% were shocked by the idea of a gay president, while 5 years ago, 52% were. 20 years ago, 61% were shocked.
No one expects an openly gay politician to succeed anytime soon in Panama, but gays there do enjoy a brief moment of visibility in February during Carnival. In Panama City's Carnival parade, their floats included the feathered carriage of their own Carnival queen, drag artist Ana Carolina. And although the nation's lesbian and gay organization, Asociación Hombres y Mujeres Nuevos de Panama, was denied legal registration, the government this year approved gay carnival floats and queens in two provincial cities as well. There's also been a growing gay representation in Panamanian television, with several soap operas introducing gay characters last year, and the open gay known as Herald hosting a weekly current affairs show.
Partying is on the upswing as well in the Polish capital, Warsaw. In the last 6 months, five new gay and lesbian clubs have opened, where there'd been only two before.
Slovenia will be represented at May's Eurovision Song Contest by a trio of transvestites. The group Sestra, the Sisters, won that honor by a single point in this past weekend's national EMA contest as they performed their song Only Love while clad in red stewardess outfits. At least one Slovenian activist believes the song addresses gay love, with its lyric, "There are many ways in life. Don't look for happiness where there is none. Just listen to your heart. Look into my eyes and stop worrying. I know you feel the same way as I do. What you desire is not a sin, it's love. This year's Eurovision, expected to draw a TV audience of 70 million, will be staged in Estonia, making it the first to be held in a former Iron Curtain country. But it won't be the first to have a transgender entry. Israel's Dana International won the contest in 1998.
And finally, staff at the New York Aquarium have learned that what they called one of the most dedicated couples in the penguin enclosure are both male. Black-footed penguins Wendell and Cass are 14 years old and have been a couple for 8 years. There is no way to distinguish the bird's sex from the outside, so it had been assumed they were a heterosexual pair, since the more aggressive Cass had always been the top. After a staffer observed Wendell taking the lead instead, a blood test was ordered that outed the couple. The devoted couple sleep in the same nest, and like many other New Yorkers, they've had to defend it. The penguin keeper said that it seems to be one of the most desirable places in the penguin enclosure.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 23rd, 2002, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Brian Nunes.
When we open the audio file later in the program, you'll find yourself running with light across a bridge to Atlantis, where the rewards will be huge. But first, there's news from Tallahassee that will also be music to your ears.
Watch out, here I come.
The state of Florida has seen many battles over rights for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. And as a new generation grows up, they're becoming more demanding that their political leaders provide them equal treatment and protection from harassment. As Susan Gage reports, a contingent of those emerging activists descended on the state capitol in Tallahassee to claim dignity for all youth.
A cold wind whipped through the Capitol Plaza in Tallahassee, but it would take more than the elements to discourage a citizen corps of young lobbyists from Miami. A half dozen high school and college students waited patiently to speak to Florida Governor Jeb Bush about a bill currently stuck in the legislative process.
What are you here for?
We're here for Youth Lobby Day. And
what are you lobbying for, youth?
Dignity for All Students.
What's that mean?
Dignity for All Students Act. It's a four-part bill.
Okay. Who's sponsoring it?
Representative Gottlieb and Skip Campbell.
Okay. We'll take a look at it.
Basically, it's got four parts.
Yep.
One is a clear ban on...
Close to 100 students and adults, armed with position papers and wearing white T-shirts with the word Dignity emblazoned across the chest, went from door to door to talk about the Dignity for All Students Act. The bill first surfaced last year after a highly publicized incident involving a state legislator who launched into an anti-gay tirade at a group of gay students who came to his office to talk about issues of harassment in school. Chris Vasquez, an Orlando high school senior, says a meeting with State Representative Alan Trevelyan started out cordial but became hostile.
The first 10 minutes he did his conciliatory listening to everything we had to say, nodding his head, saying yes, stuff like that. However, once he was done with his 10 minutes, he looked at us and he goes, "I'm against discrimination of any type, but I'm against this as well." And he pointed to the papers that we had handed him, and he pointed to us as well. He's like, "I believe you all are immoral." He goes, "Homosexuals are the downfall of mankind. According to the scripture, everything you do is wrong. I can't support causes that you're for because you're gay." He said, "God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah," alluding to the biblical gay city. And he's like, "And he'll destroy you and a lot of other people."
Vasquez says he left the meeting in tears. State Representative Ken Gottlieb and State Senator Skip Campbell are the sponsors of the Dignity for All Students Act. The measure would require school districts to keep track of harassment of students and provide training to teachers and administrators on how to stop harassment of kids. Gottlieb says the bill fits with the American ideal of all people being created equal.
It's what makes our country great. And we must remember that these laws are not just passed for today, but for all future generations. And we must work towards a day when no child is left to fend for themselves in school, and every child is made to feel human all of the time.
Such words stirred an emotional response from some of the students.
My name is Alina.
I'm going to present myself as a black lesbian. I would hate to say I have a double-edged sword, but unfortunately, this is the way that it is in the U.S. all around.
Alina Moreland of Sarasota says the fact that she has to come to Tallahassee and ask for a bill to protect her and other students fills her with anger and frustration.
All these children, beautiful, you know, very smart, intelligent, are forced to harbor their own self-pity, some, and a lot of hatred that others have forced upon them. They don't have counselors, a lot of counselors. We have to do our own funding for these types of things. Most of all, I would like to live. I would like to have people look at me, willing to learn, and have them know that I'm also willing to learn at the same time. And I would like to do that with love in my heart, not anger, not sadness, and I don't want to see anybody else die because they couldn't be who they were.
Statistics from the Department of Education showed that while violence in Florida schools has gone down, harassment has increased by 27%, and nationwide surveys have shown that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender children are more likely to drop out of school and are four times more likely to commit suicide. Natasha Carolla now attends the University of North Florida in Jacksonville. She says she had her share of trouble at her high school.
Vandalism of property at school. My junior year of high school, a locker was, the word dyke was written on my locker, and friends of mine had tires slashed and just obscene things yelled at them. Nothing really violent, like physically, but like I said, the smallest things can really, really harass.
We have an appointment with Representative Jordan, or his aide.
Carolla was among a group that went to visit lawmakers from the Jacksonville area, hoping that they can take the message to the legislative leadership that this bill needs a hearing. The pack arrived in Representative Stan Jordan's office, where they had a 20-minute conversation with his aide, Bill Johnson.
As you all know, in elementary schools, kids can be pretty cruel to one another, you know, especially 7-year-old little Johnny taunting little Tommy. How is this law going to affect that?
This is a little different than just daily teasing. Continual
but
harassment that basically drives kids.
Yeah, but back to playing devil's advocate, you know, kids are cruel and they will taunt and, in a lot of cases, beat up other, you know, people who they say are different.
Are you saying that's okay?
No.
Shouldn't we take any step that we can take?
No, what I'm asking is against who would be held liable? Would it be the 7-year-old little Johnny, or would it be mom and dad?
It would be the school.
It'd be the school itself.
School.
Okay.
For not dealing with the.
Okay.
It'd be the school. I mean,
okay.
Now there could be, there could be a private cause of action in tort if mm-hmm. a child causes bodily harm to another child.
The meeting with Johnson was cordial and relaxed, but the aide says all he can do is tell the representative about the meeting, what was said, and what literature the group brought with them. Representative Jordan isn't a member of the State Administration Committee in the House, and that's the first committee stop for the legislation. So far, the chairman of that committee hasn't placed the bill on the agenda. That leaves it to the Senate, and State Senator Skip Campbell didn't sound hopeful.
The bill in the Senate has not moved. We've talked to some committees. I'm told if it moves in the House, we'll let it move in the Senate.
I've been questioning that. Where's the stand in the House?
State administration.
Does it have support for leadership?
I don't believe it has support from the leadership, but I haven't heard that. But it hasn't moved in the State Administration Committee.
Any other questions? Hearing none, everybody have a great day.
The members of the state legislature face re-election in the fall, including State Representative Gottlieb and State Senator Campbell. Gottlieb says if he's sent back to Tallahassee, he will sponsor the bill again. For This Way Out, I'm Susan Gage in Tallahassee.
There's nothing so international as a powerful idea. Hi, I'm Edmund White. While I live in Paris and have worked in many cities in the U.S., it is the overwhelming international flavor of the lesbian and gay rights movement that has proved so powerful and impressive over the past couple of decades. And one radio program, This Way Out, has been there to record, to inform, and to entertain. So please keep listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine on this station.
It's the artists' comments about their unusual approaches that make this month's audio file particularly interesting, as if the amazing mix of musical styles were not enough. Especially if you're not familiar with Tom McCormick, Kevin Hannon, or the Bootlickers, listen up.
You asked me to come home. I thought it would be easy. I traveled for a day, a month, a year. Somehow a lifetime went by. Footsteps forward, were they toward you? Yes, I saw you, vaguely.
Tom McCormick's CD, Running With Light, speaks to the language of our hearts with a vulnerability that connects to our inner hopes and dreams. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile.
My musical style on this CD is, it's kind of, you know, singer-songwriter, pop, spiritual. I wouldn't call it contemporary Christian, but it definitely has strong spiritual elements in it.
Originally issued in 1991 on cassette only, Tom got many requests for a CD version, and we're pleased to share the resulting release with you.
Call me out of hiding. Call me out of hiding. I'm there in your need to find your way out of this fight, because I share in your freedom as you come into the light. When the moment is right, still doubting, you'll come running, shouting, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of hiding.
You can find out more about Tom McCormick and his CD, Running With Light, at www.tommccormick.com. That's www.tommccormick.com.
Kevin Hannon's CD, Bridge to Atlantis, is melodic storytelling. His music is poetry that is smart and full of human emotions.
Jealousy has divided me into kingdom and wasteland, and I think this is connected to my stationary right hand as my ghost steal the sheets as I lay here to fans running, and I wonder, will he like this? Will he think that I fit in? Or does he pray for forgetting of the one?
I guess if I had to identify a genre, I would say that it's poetry sort of couched inside this Trojan horse of rock and pop, kind of like what you'd hear on the radio.
Kevin says his CD is a concept album about blind ambition racing toward the right thing from the wrong direction.
Cradling the madman in a 10-month reverie. He thinks that you must have cause to be a little bit of saint. Nurse, a Robin Hood. He cries not in your arms, but in a pile of coupons.
You can learn more about Kevin Hannon and his Bridge to Atlantis album at www.kevinhannon.com. That's Kevin, HANNAN.com.
Philadelphia's The Bootlickers don't have a foot fetish, but they do bring us queer power pop with their new CD called Huge. It's a follow-up to their 1997 CD, Universal Nancy.
and I give to you the left side of the bed, and I'll offer you the contents of my head.
Just say you love me. Just say.
Ed LeBlanc, who shares lead vocals with John McNeil, describes their sound this way.
Well, I guess basically we're catchy pop rock. Yeah, we're kind of whores for a good hook. If we were a cocktail mix, we'd probably be one part Go-Go's, two parts The Beatles, and a dash of Dollywood.
Find out more about The Bootlickers and their CD Huge at www.thebootlickers.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 429, Sunland, California, 91041, or online at info@audiophile.org. That's info@audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Brian Nunes, Graham Underhill, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambidge, Rex Walkner, Susan Gage, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Dead or Alive performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on multimedia, then on radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. To learn how you can help This Way Out stay on the air, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening on Planet FM, Auckland, New Zealand, WYEP, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, KPFT, Houston, Texas, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all, stay tuned.